The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Welcome this morning to Life Connection Church. Good morning. My name is Matt. I am one of the pastors here. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis 1, this is an easy one to find. It should be nearly the first page in your Bible. We're going to be in Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28 this morning, if you want to begin turning there. And as you are, I want to begin this morning by celebrating, first of all, celebrating God's generosity and His goodness in and through our church for Hope for the City. So I want to just give an update on the giving towards that. We saw this year $11,800 given towards Hope for the City. So thank you guys. That is amazing. Yeah, that's God's goodness and His grace, His generosity just being poured out through you guys. So thank you for that. I know this wasn't our goal. Our goal was $15,000, but right, this is just still an amazing gift and an amazing start to 2026 as we look to see the gospel, which is the hope that we have. The hope for Kansas City, for the nations, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what an awesome catalyst that offering will be to see the gospel go not just into our city, but across the world. Because what we're going to do is we are going to go ahead and give $2,500 of that to the Lottie Moon offering. So that'll go to the IMB and the nearly 4,000 missionaries that that supports across the globe. And then the rest of that will go right to our seed money for our worship director position and towards the B team for the rest of 2026. Because that's where we're at. I still feel like I may be in the beginning of 2025. I don't really know how we're already to 2026, but that's where we're at. And so we're celebrating what God is doing already to move us and to prepare us to be on His mission, which is what this new series we're going to be in starting this week for the next 6 weeks, is this series on the mission of God. And so we want to take some time this year, at the beginning of the year, maybe to help us as we think about these new habits and resolutions and goals that we set as we step into the new year. Because that's what tends to come as we come into this time of the year. We look back on 2025 and we reflect on what went well and maybe what didn't go so well. Take some time to stop and evaluate what we want our life to look like in the coming year. We want to know maybe things that we're headed towards or that we want to see done in our family or in our jobs. And so our hope is through the next 6 weeks that we will maybe get to help provide some guide rails or some guards and ways for us to seek to live this next year as disciples of Jesus and to join Him in the purpose and the mission that God gave us. That we wouldn't just seek to set resolutions for 2026, but that we would long to see whatever goals we set and however we are to live to be within God's call upon all of our lives. Because the mission of God, as we're going to see in the coming weeks, is our mission as well. This is not a mission that God is living and trying to work out on His own, but in and through His people and through the things He has done in this world and through all of creation, He is looking to see His mission furthered. And so maybe think of this series as a North Star, as a way to help us keep on course as we go through this year. Because no matter how hard we try and how much effort we give to being on God's mission and to living our lives for Him, we're gonna get off course just a little bit. Maybe a way to understand what I mean is that here at Life Connection Church, our vision and mission is to see God glorified through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. And we believe that we will see that happen as we live as a missional community of truth and beauty and generosity. That God will be glorified, we will be changed as the gospel motivates us and empowers us to live this missional life that reflects God's generosity, His beauty, and His goodness and truth to the world. But no matter how much we might talk about that or how much we long to be a church that's like that, we're not always generous like God's generous to us. We're not always living on missionally as God longs for us to. We don't savor and enjoy the beauty of God in the world or share God's truth and think and believe in God's truth in every single way. We might try to change and transform our own lives by our own power and our own strength rather than through the gospel of Jesus. And it may be that we don't miss it all. We get some of it. But we alter our course just a tad, just a little bit. And the reality is that a single degree in a foot doesn't make a big difference. But a single degree off in miles makes a large difference. And in the course of our life, can totally lead us off course. And so what was intended to glorify God in our lives becomes about us and our own glory. And so we have to have these moments then when we course correct. That's what oftentimes the beginning of the year is about. We look back and we're trying to just correct. We're trying to evaluate. And so we want this series to be that, to help us course correct a little bit. That every week we want to look at these, think of them almost as landmarks as we're walking through this journey of the scriptures in our life that help us stay on track and keep us from veering off course. And we're going to be looking at things from creation like we're going to see today, to Israel, to the church, all the way to new creation, that we're going to look at the scriptures from beginning to end and in order to see with clarity that God has been directing and guiding and saving his people, empowering them to join him and live with him on his mission for all time. And so I'm going to ask, would you guys stand with me? We're going to read from Genesis 1 this morning. This is going to be what directs our time today. Maybe starts us off on this journey to be on God's mission together as his church. We're going to read verses 26 through 28 together. They will be on the screen. Would you follow along with me as we read? Starting in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Let's pray. Father, there is none greater or more glorious than you. We thank you for being our creator, our sustainer, our redeemer, and our friend. We ask this morning that as we look at your scriptures, as we look at your word, as we consider your mission, we ask that you would give us grace to have a glimpse, a greater glimpse of your glory and your goodness. And that it would not leave us the same, but that as we see your glory, Father, today, would you change us by it? Would you move us and send us according to your glory and your mission? And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys can be seated. We live today in a day of self-expression and individuality. And as we think on this text here in Genesis 1, I think there's a reality that this is in some ways how God created us. We were made to reflect God's image individually, both as males and females, with the gifts and the abilities he gave to each one of us. This text is often seen as the text, right? This is the text that we come to when we're looking to understand and argue for the value and dignity and worth of individual life, as each person is created to reflect then God's image and glory. Yet where we as a church have rightly fought and understood the importance of who we were created to be, I think there is this reality that we have begun to let individuality slide into the dangerous lie of individualism. That we are individuals made in God's glory, but we are not individuals who are meant to live on our own, by our own strength, for our own name and our own glory. Our culture's value of authenticity and our sin have led many to distrust our identity as a people for the reality of our own created and determined identity we make for ourselves. We don't want other people to tell us who we are, and our culture would say it's a really inauthentic thing and something we should distrust if people tell you who you are. You must create and determine your identity for yourself. And maybe our goals and resolutions for 2026 even point to this reality, as many of us, including myself, have probably thought through this next year in light of what is best for ourselves, or have only considered what we think would be best for us rather than hearing or receiving guidance from those around us. This is because individualism at its core aspires to achieve rather than to receive our identities. The lie of individualism says that we have the strength and the power and the giftings and the ability to achieve all that we were meant to be, rather than knowing and believing that we were meant to receive our identities from somebody else, from others. To receive who we are or to seek that understanding from others, we believe would show us to be weak or unable. It would be inauthentic. We would lose the real us. But what if this individualism is actually cutting us off from and making us unable to truly enjoy or live out our life that we were meant to live? The lie of individualism says that you aren't actually able to live or enjoy your life if anybody else puts some kind of constraint or identity upon you. But what if who we were made individually can only be enjoyed and lived out when we receive who we were meant to be corporately? What we see in our text today is the creation of who we are and the mandate given by our Creator. This is not just some random human being or person or AI out there telling us who we were meant to be. This is the mandate given to us by the Creator God for how we were meant to live and who we were meant to be. And so this means there is no one, as God is Creator, who is excluded from this commission, from this call upon our lives. This means from creation, our innate calling and mission is not one that we create for ourselves, but is one that we have been graciously given and equipped to join in. The beginning of all that we do and all that we are meant to achieve in this life is founded here in Genesis 1, at the beginning of creation, and expounded upon then throughout the rest of the Scriptures. Our hope is that through the next 6 weeks, this isn't some separate idea, that every week you're going to get some new idea about God's mission. That these are all things that layer upon each other to help us understand the fullness of God's mission. And what we're going to see this morning, I think, from Genesis 1 is that God created us to join Him in His mission for His glory. That God created us to join Him because this is God's mission, right? That's the name of this series. This isn't our mission. We are looking to understand God's mission. And He created us to join Him in His mission, and His mission is for His glory. And this may not be a new thought to some of us in the room. It may be familiar, maybe understood at some level, but I think that makes it all the more dangerous in some ways. We are prone with the familiar to become complacent or to begin to lack intention. But intention, when it comes to the glory of God, is the heart of this mission. Intention is the heart of living for the glory of God. How many of you have ever been driving, and because you're on a familiar route, right? You're on this road that you drive every single day to the same place, to do the same things, find yourself not realizing what's happened for the last 5 minutes It's kind of scary sometimes when I pull into my driveway and I don't remember ever getting into our neighborhood. But it happens. Or you're intending to go somewhere else, but because you're driving on a road that you're familiar with, you end up taking the wrong turn. Because this is where you always turn on that road. This is where you always go when you're on this highway, right? Nobody else has ever done that, have they? Because intent is the issue here. Our worship, our hearts, the familiar can take over and we can lose sight of where we are going or totally take the wrong turn. Two people can work really hard at their jobs, and one do so for the glory of God and another for their own glory. It can look the same, and yet the intent behind it can totally make somebody go off course into something else. God's mission requires the whole of ourselves then. Not just what we do, but why we do it. And God, in these verses here in Genesis 1, gives us two ways that we are meant to glorify Him. By displaying His glory and by cultivating His glory. But before we look more closely at these, I think it's important that we understand what we mean by the glory of God or glorifying God. This isn't some like amorphous religious language idea that isn't meant to be fully understood by us. It is a word that's hard to define. It's like defining beauty. If you try to really help somebody understand what we mean by something being beautiful, it gets really complex and a little hard to really define at the end of the day. But God's glory, if we were to put a definition to it, is who God is on display. John Piper, pastor, he talks about it as God's holy perfection going public. It's the understood, the visible, the experienced realities of God's beauty, His worth, His holiness, of everything of who He is. It's why when the angels, when we read in Isaiah 6, it says that the angels are flying around God's throne declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." The whole earth, it says, is full of, and we would anticipate in this moment that it would say, His holiness, because that's what they've been declaring. But instead it says that the whole earth is full of His glory. That's because God's glory, is His infinite holiness, His beauty, His character, and His attributes, the innumerable, infinite realities of who He is that become seen and known to us here on this earth. And so when it talks about the whole earth being full of His glory, it's talking about the whole earth being full of His holiness, of His goodness, of His grace, of His truth, of His faithfulness, of His love, of who He is. And this has been God's mission from the start, to help us know and experience and enjoy His glory. He wasn't lacking in anything. God didn't create us because He needed us to worship Him. He is complete in Himself. He is whole. There's this idea, it's called aseity, meaning that God is completely able to sustain and be Himself by Himself. He doesn't need us. But in His goodness and His grace, the glories of His love, of who He is and His holiness, was something He longed for others to know and experience. It poured out and overflowed from Him so that we might know and enjoy what is best for us, which is to know Him. And so when we experience and we know and are on mission for His glory, it's for our greatest good as well. This isn't just something that we have to do. Understand that it is something we get to do. And the great news is that what Genesis 1 tells us is that we were pre-built for this reality. To enjoy and be on mission, to know and experience God in His glory in this world. Read with me again there at the beginning of verse 26. God says, He's talking Trinitarianly, right? He says, "Let us." There's nobody else created at this moment. He's talking as a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit amongst themselves. He says, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." And so God literally first created us in order to display His glory. This is the first way that we get to be on God's mission, is just by being us. He literally made us to display His glory in being human beings. In how we live, how we love, what we do, and what we say, we as humans in all of created order have this built-in ability in our living to uniquely display the glory of God to the world around us because we have been made in His likeness and after His image. Throughout the Genesis account of creation, what we see is that it is building to, and the pinnacle of creation is actually mankind. That everything else when it is created, God ends and he looks upon it and He says, this is good. That's what He says. But when He gets to mankind and He is done creating Adam, the very first thing He says is, this is very good. Something is not just good, but in the creation of mankind, it is very good. It is because God's image is displayed and reflected in the creation of man. The intent of glorifying God with who we are then isn't to diminish ourselves. Because I think oftentimes when we think of this kind of reality that we've been given an identity and we're supposed to live in a way that somebody else tells us, it diminishes who we are. But to live for God's glory isn't to diminish us, but to recognize that our greatest joy and purpose are found when they are expressed and aligned with the created mission that God gave us. That if we were made after His image and likeness and we don't live after that, that's when we diminish. That's when we become less human. That's when we become less of who we are. That to live for God's glory is to be the most authentic human that you can be. Christianity isn't here to make us all into robots that look the same and live exactly the same lives. Psalm 139 tells us that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made with unique giftings and physical attributes and this makeup of who we are. But the purpose, the intent behind the multitude of attributes and gifts isn't to magnify our own worth. That's where we start to go off into this weird world of individualism, that it's about me and making much of what I can do. The individuality of what God created us in isn't about magnifying our own worth, but to show the infinite beauty and worth of our God. Understand that in the billions of men and women and children who have been created, they haven't even begun to scratch the surface of displaying and showing the infinite worth and beauty of our God, because that is how massive and great and majestic our God is. He created us individually with these individual gifts so that we might display the innumerable infinite worth of who He is in all the ways that He has created us. The word image there in verses 26 through 27 is also meant to kind of convey this idea of a statue. When a conquering king would defeat a land, they would put up a statue in that area because they weren't going to live there. They were going to go live in their castle, in their kingdom, wherever they were at. And so when they conquered, they would create then these statues to remind the people there who ruled over them, who was their king. And so on the earth that God created, that He rules over as king, every single man, woman, and child were meant to be a living representation of a statue of our king. That we were meant to look at one another and be reminded whose rule and authority we live under, whose goodness and grace have been poured out upon us, whose faithfulness and love watch over us as we see God's glory on display in the lives of one another that we live with. And so this means that the most inhumane, inauthentic thing we can do then as men and women, created for God's glory to display it in everything we are and everything we do, is instead to try to take the glory for ourselves or give it to other things. That is the most inhumane, inauthentic way that we can live if this is how we have been created. And Paul says that in our sin, in Romans 1, this is what has happened to us. Romans 1, starting in verse 18, Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So all the ungodliness and unrighteousness, all, he says, of mankind is wrapped up into this reality. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, he's talking about God's glory, God's goodness, God's grace, God's power, God's majesty, who God is. His invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Do you see the glory exchange we made? At the heart of all of our unrighteousness and ungodliness is this reality that God has shown us his glory, and we, by our unrighteousness, have suppressed the truth of that and said we'd rather take the glory for ourselves or give it to somebody else. We'd rather not honor you, God, and display you, God, as the one deserving of glory through ourselves. We'd rather give that to somebody else. And so in this lie of individualism, we actually further the cause of our sin. Because rather than displaying the individuality of God's glory through who he made us, we make it about ourselves. The world will tell us the wisdom of mankind is to be ourselves, to find the real you and not let others around you tell you who you are or what you were meant to be. But the Bible says to be authentically the most human man or woman is to live in the image of God, under the authority and in the mission of God for his glory, because that is who we were created and meant to be, how we were meant to live. We cannot and were not meant to figure out who we are on our own. I think this lies at the heart of much of the anxiety of our world today, of the stress and of the fear, of the defensiveness, is because we have tried to create identities for ourselves, and in reality, when it becomes attacked, we realize it is really fragile, that we really don't know who we are, that we really can't figure it out on our own. And so God, in his goodness and his grace, has said, here, I'm giving it to you. You can have your identity. Display my glory. It's not a life that is free of constraints in which we find our joy, but one with the correct ones. I think parenting is a great example of this reality, because our children in many ways reflect the glory then of their parents. If you want to know who parents are, you can kind of look at their children. Not exactly, but in a lot of ways, right? Kids are not meant to live however they want, doing whatever they want. This leads to the reality, I don't know if you guys have read the book Lord of the Flies. It's not good. When children get to do whatever they want, however they want, Lord of the Flies takes over. Instead, they will find their greatest happiness in life when they live under the rightful rule and care of their parents. And then as their parents live under the rule and the mission and authority of God. Our love as parents is meant to reflect God's love, showing us his care for us and then to our children. Our discipline of our children is meant to reflect God's own fatherly discipline and authority over us, changing us and shaping our lives and behavior to reflect God's image in us and so then in our children. In part, then, our mission in 2026 and then the rest of our lives must be to work to discipline ourselves and to be discipled. Same kind of root word there, discipline and discipled into the image and likeness of the God we were made to be living out. To recover the glory that was meant to be ours from creation. And this is only done by becoming more like Jesus through the power of God's Holy Spirit. That you and I do not become accidental saints. Like, you don't just fall into holiness. It doesn't just happen because you sleep maybe with a Bible under your pillow, or because we show up to church every Sunday, or show up to GC every week, or sing the right songs. There's intent here. And so we pick up a Bible reading plan and we read our Bibles and pray so that we can hear from God and be reminded of who He is, of His glory, of His grace, of His beauty and His worthiness. And so in turn, be reminded then of who we are and who we were meant to be. We intentionally take steps to grow as disciples of Jesus by being a part of the church, to hear from others through gospel communities, through disciple-making groups and relationships. We hear from them how they think and who they see us to be and ways that they think we need to grow and ways we should be changing our lives and shaped as God's truth comes from them. We submit ourselves to this mission together then as God's people in the church, because the one thing we see in all of creation that was not good, the only time God says this is not good, is when man lived alone. Was alone. God says, this is not good. God didn't come to save us individually. He came to save us as His people so that we might together reflect the infinite glories of our God. And since this is what we were created for, the more this image is restored in us, the greater our joy will be. The more fulfillment and purpose we will find. And so first, our mission for God's glory is found through displaying it in our lives. And secondly, through cultivating it in the world around us. Verse 28 says, "And God blessed them." That's, recognize He starts there by this being a blessing. "And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." This is our blessing. It's not just to live because we have to, but a get to reflect His glory through having dominion over the earth. I think in the Garden of Eden, this would have looked like agricultural subduing. Right? They would have cared for and tended to the Garden of Eden and made sure God's glory was displayed as fruit was picked, as plants were cared for. And as we think about that today and what that looks like for us, I think we can look at maybe human ingenuity and effort across the world to work and to help mankind flourish and the world around us flourish. We were meant to create and to cultivate the world we live in to magnify the glory of God. There is this special, unique calling upon mankind to do this work. It says in Psalm 19:1 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. They just do it. It's not something that has to be understood or worked on. It just does that. And so mankind is meant to help it do that, to magnify all of this. But because of the fall and sin that now exists in this world, because we have given God's glory away to these things, to created things, to ourselves rather than to Him, everything has been flipped on its head. Where it was meant to be God's dominion and authority over us, that flowed down into us and our dominion and authority then over creation, realize Romans 1 says all of that has been flipped on its head because we now submit ourselves to the glory and give the glory to creation that then enslaves us because it can't actually satisfy us because it's not what we were meant to know and enjoy and live for. And so we find ourselves enslaved to it, keeping coming back and going, this isn't working, and we give it to a new thing and we give it to a new thing and we try a little harder and we tell God we've got it. Because He actually needs to submit to us. We know better than Him. These are the things that should get the glory, not you. That's what we say in Romans 1. Our sin keeps us from seeing the glory of God and the world around us because we're trying to give it the glory. And so instead, we try to replace or fill this hunger for the glory we were created for from God through the things of this world. But they always leave us wanting. As cultivators of God's glory, as those meant to help see the glory of God flourish in this world, our mission is to essentially take a magnifying glass and to work to make sure that people can intentionally see the goodness and the grace and the faithfulness and the love of God in every single thing they do and we do in this world. And this has to be done through and by the power of the gospel. We say at Life Connection Church, right, we want to see God glorified through transformed lives. But we have to have the end of that statement, or none of this matters, because it is through the cultivation of God's glory in people's lives that the gospel has to come in and do this work. It is only the only power capable of illuminating God's glory to the eyes of our hearts and our lives. The Bible uses a lot of analogies. It says that we are dead in our trespasses and our sins. It talks about the fact that Satan, in 2 Corinthians 4, has blinded the eyes of unbelievers from seeing the goodness and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so no matter how we understand it or see it, the answer to cultivating the glory of God in this world, it can only be done through the power of the good news of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. It is faith in the reality that Jesus died in our place and for our sins because we gave God's glory away. And so Jesus came to restore that glory in us, to show us what it looked like to live completely and totally for God's glory. And so He had to die in our place and for our sins and give us then this life so that we could see and savor the glory of God as we were meant to. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we are this new creation when we come to Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come is what it talks about. But then it goes on to say that we as disciples of Jesus, when we have been given this new life and this new power through the gospel, that we become ambassadors of it. Empowered by God's Spirit, we now have the power and the message of truth to cultivate God's glory wherever we go. And so our work can be empowered by a desire to please the Lord, to make much of His goodness in giving us our jobs, and honor then our God and the ability He created in us and gave us to work hard to cultivate His glory in our work, rather than trying to take the glory for ourselves through earning others' approval, by them thinking we're really good at what we do, by trying to find security somewhere else, by having a bank account that's a little bit fatter and a little bit more padded. But more than just internally cultivating God's glory through our actions, we can plant its seeds and its work with our words across the world as well. Our work ethic can look just like the non-Christian. And our friendships and our relationships can be matched, if not outdone, by the love and the care of those who practice and worship other gods and follow other religions. And so we have to understand that our niceness, who we are and how we live, it's a good thing. It reflects this reality of God's gospel being cultivated in our lives. But it is only the gospel word and message that saves. Only the gospel that saves. So please hear me here this morning. The glory of God is the greatest thing we could ever know or experience. It is literally the holiness and the character of the Creator, the unending love of our Father, His faithfulness and His goodness and grace experienced and known by us, tasted. When it talks about in the Psalms that we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, this is what it's talking about. We get to eat food and drink Dr. Pepper, and it's awesome. It's for God. I get to eat pizza for God's glory. Amen. It should be that way. I get to live my life loving my friends, not because I need something from them, but because I want to show them how God has loved and cared and shaped me. And this world is missing it. They don't get to know those things. Pizza is just about pizza for them. Parenting and friendships, they're about themselves. because they haven't been filled or given this purpose and this mission for the glory of God. And so they're trying to find it in everything else. And so while it looks selfless, the reality is that apart from the grace and the goodness of God, we do not live for anybody but ourselves or this world. But Jesus Christ came, was born as a baby in flesh. And He died in their place and for their sins and our sins and in our place so that we could have new life. Even though we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, unable to know, savor, see, experience the glory of God in this world because of our deadness in our hearts, God has come through Jesus Christ on His mission so that we can know and experience that glory again. And He has given us this, what's called a second birth, a new birth. It's what it talks about in John 3, right? This new birth that we get to have in our hearts so that we can forever enjoy the glory of God in our lives everywhere. And so if we truly want to be cultivators of God's glory in this world on His mission, then we need to not just add to it in our lives, though that is part of what we need to do, but we need to see it multiplied in the lives of others. Not just added to in our own lives, but multiplied in and through the lives of others. We have to tell them, speak to them, share with them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of God's holiness, of His majesty, of His perfection, and of our sin, and our desire to give His glory to somebody else, of His unending love and His forgiveness bought for us by the death of His own Son, Jesus, who was the most human of humans, who lived under and for God's mission to His death. There is no more loving, more kind, more caring, more honest, truthful, authentic human than Jesus Christ, specifically because He lived His life for the glory of God in all things. He said it was His food, what it meant for Him to be filled up, to be satisfied in doing the Father's will, not His own. And it is by His death and resurrection that the hard ground of our hearts, talks about our hearts being hearts of stone, being hard-hearted. The gospel has this power to till up the spiritual realities of our hearts so that the seeds of spiritual life can be grown. 2 Corinthians 4, God's glory is displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. If we want people to know of God's glory, to have that new birth, to have spiritual life, to savor and enjoy and experience and be on God's mission for His glory, it begins in and with the face, the person, the work, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. And in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He displayed the glory of God, and through His life, His teachings, and His death and resurrection, He cultivated then. Not just displayed, but through His life, death, and resurrection, He cultivated the glory of God in the lives of His disciples, and then sent them to do the same. Us. The gospel of Jesus is the key to the glory of God, as it is the way God's glory is restored in us, and the power then to cultivate it in the world around us. We as a church will never outgrow or outlive or become too great for this mission. This is what we were created for. This is why we have come and partnered together as a church here at Life Connection. It is the very mission of God, what He is doing throughout all time, all peoples, for into eternity. This is what we will be doing in eternity, is making much of the glory of God. It will be unending because His glories are infinite. His love is unending. His goodness and His grace do not fail and never end. And so every resolution we make, every goal we set, every purpose we have must begin and end here if we desire to be on the mission of God, the mission He gave us at creation. God created us to join Him in His mission for His glory. That's what we get to do, Life Connection. That's what we get to do this year in all that we are about. we join together in singing and praising, in community, in discipleship, in all that we do. This is our goal, to see God glorified, because this is what He created us to do. Let's pray. Father, we confess this morning that we have fallen very short of Your glory. That the intent and the ways You created us and made us to reflect Your goodness and Your grace, we have not done that. We confess this morning, Father, that we have given Your glory to created things rather than You, Creator God. And so, Father, we come and we ask for forgiveness for these things. We ask for forgiveness, and we do it with confidence, and we do it with hope, and we do it with real humility and contrition and with joy, not because we have deserved it or earned it, but because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we hold before You His blood, His death, and we ask that it would be, as Your word tells us, sufficient for cleansing us from our sins and forgiving us for all of our unrighteousness. I ask, Father, that You would help us in the days to come that You would help us to see and know and enjoy and savor Your glory in all things. Would You open the eyes of our hearts, of the eyes of our bodies, to see Your goodness everywhere, to see Your glory radiating from each other and from this world, and would it turn our hearts to praise You? Would You help us to join You on this mission for Your glory, because it is for our greatest good and for the world's greatest good? And so we pray for these things, asking for these things, knowing this is what You made us for, knowing this is what You long for. It's what is in Your heart. And so we ask that You would answer our prayer with a yes. Would You point our eyes upward towards You in Your glory as we sing? Would You send us from this place as we go later in fullness of and joy of Your glory that You have given to us in Jesus Christ? And so as You turn our eyes, Holy Spirit, turn them to Jesus, that we might see the glory of God in His face and be changed from one degree of glory to another, that we would be changed into His image as You promised to do. And we pray all of these things for ourselves, but for our church as well, that we as Your people would be able to reflect Your glory and Your goodness together. Send us on Your mission, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.